Okay, so we were talking about the beginning of the seventh parak, and I want to talk about when the chovas zimun is chal. So if we take a look at Tosfos, he quotes Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi asks, at least this is the Haban of Tosfos, the Yerushalmi itself is very unclear. And as we'll see, other Rishonim don't read the Yerushalmi like Tosfos, but the Yerushalmi is understood by Tosfos as the following shiloh. There's a stira between the mission at the beginning of the parak that says that you're chayav in zimun, which implies that the chayav of zimun is absolute. A person, once they start eating together, couldn't leave. And then we have the mission a little bit later on Daf Nun. And there, it also refers to an obligation to zima, to be mezamein. But it says that you can't leave. You can't leave early. So the implication is that you can't leave early, but it doesn't sound like you have to, if you finish early, you could. So how do we resolve these two Mishnayos? That's basically the question in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says like this, Shmuel Amar, Kan Betchila, Kan Besof. So somehow or another, that's the resolution. Ezu betchila ezu b'sof, train amorayim. So then there's a machlokas amorayim. What this means? Chad amar nasnu das lechol zehu betchila, achlu kizayis zehu b'sof. That's the first answer. V'charna amar achlu kizayis zehu betchila, gamra achilas zehu b'sof. So then Tosos writes the riff is tofes lashon rishon. There's a question here of the Girsa. Does it mean Lashon Rishon or Mishnah Rishona? It's also very vague, very hard to understand exactly what this line means. What riff is he referring to? The Marshaz and Mahalik. The simple reading of Tosfos is he refers to the riff, which doesn't bring the first answer of the Gemara later on. Meaning to say, the Bavli also somewhat addresses this question on Daf Nun. And bottom of Nun, Maikum Mashmalan, Tanina Chadazimna, Shosha Sha'achu Ke'achat Chayav Mazamein. So the Gemara answers, Hakum Mashmalan, Ki'ada Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Shmuel, Gimel Sheyashvu Le'achol Ke'achat Zadayim Lo'achlu, in Rishayim L'chalik. So the first answer is, even though they didn't eat, they can't break apart. Then we have two other Lishnachwinas. Now the Rif didn't bring that first Lashon. And that's what Tosa sounds like. He's saying he's Tofes Lashon Risha. Because the first Lashon Yerushalmi is that nasnu das lechol zehu betchila, and that corresponds to the first answer of the Gemara, which the Rif omits. One way or the other, the resolution is understood by Tosos quoting the Rif. Some even think he's not Goris the Rif. The resolution is as follows: if they began to eat together, then they're chayiv in zimun, and you can't bench early. Why? Because they were already in his chayv and zimun. Somebody wants to leave early. He may not. He has to finish and wait till the zimun. But if somebody came late, so he started after everybody else, he ate a kezias. Since they didn't eat together, he could leave early if he wishes. But if they finish together, so then they're chayv lezamein. So that is the Yerushalmi, as understood by Tosus. That's the halacha l'maisa, as understood by Tosus. So what does this tell us? L'chora, it's telling us that the chiv of Zimun isn't created by eating together, because after all, though he came late, they did eat together, right? So what is it created by? And if you were to say that eating together is enough to be mechayiv Zimun, so you should be chayiv Zimun. So it's only when they began together, that's option one, or Tosus says if they finish together, then they're also chayiv in zimun. Beginning together or finishing together is mechayiv in zimun. Now, the question is, beginning together, we understand. So you start a meal together, so that's mechayiv the zimun. Then they can't break up, right? But what about ending together? What is the logic there? In other words, they're finished eating. They didn't even... So could be, the pshat is, that since they finished at the same time and they're now ready to bench together, that's koveya. Really, I think you could explain Tosus two ways. One way is that the chiv of Zimun is created by beginning together or by ending together. It's probably the simplest reading of Tosfos, right? Since they ate together, that's Koveh Lezimon, and they're chayav to be mezamein. It's the same mechayev as if they began together. So what's mechayev Zimon? Either beginning the meal together or ending the meal together. That's probably the simple reading of Tosfos. I wonder if there's another possibility, and you'll see shortly why I'm considering it, which is no. The Chov HaZimon is only created by beginning the meal together. It doesn't make, once you're going to say that if they eat together, though they didn't begin together, that doesn't create a Chiyuv Zimon, why should finishing the meal also create a Chiyuv Zimon, or eating at the end of the meal create a Chiyuv Zimon? Rather, the pshat is that if they're ready to bench together, they have to bench together, even though there wasn't really a tziruth in terms of eating. In other words, if you want to put it a little differently, there's two ways to be chayev in zimun. Number one is beginning the meal together. Number two is even if they didn't begin the meal together, so then they're allowed to break up if they wish. But once they're all ready to bench at the same time, you also have to be mezamim together. Not because they ate together. In other words, just to put it a little differently, what I'm suggesting is, Tosfos definitely says if you begin together, you have to bench together. And if you end together, you have to bench together. Are those two mechayvim the same? Or perhaps they're slightly different? Okay, so let's consider those two options in Tosfos. Before we go on, is that clear, Yosef? Yes.
That's clear, but meaning that's to say that the very nature of finishing together such that they're now about to bench, that's koveya, meaning like the Ramban. The Ramban says just by the very nature that they are making a zimun together, meaning that they're benching together, is koveya. So essentially, al derech the Ramban. Is that maybe what we're saying?
Maybe. I'm trying to leave it a little vague. You'll see why in a second, because I'm leaving it vague because Tosfos doesn't explain. Right, all I know from Tosfos is these two possibilities, right? There's two critical moments, beginning together, ending together. My question is, are they the same or is it possible that they're different? Right, now, so let's keep that in mind. One way to go is like you're suggesting, you know, say face off of the Rambam. Definitely, that might be a very good direction. I'm not gonna decide that yet because I don't see any evidence per se from Tosfos for that possibility. All I know is what he says, which is beginning together and ending together. In both of those cases, you're chayav in zimun. Now, turning to Rabbeinu Yonah here at the beginning of the parah, Rabbeinu Yonah strongly rejects the idea that you could be mechayav in zimun at the end. Now, he didn't quote the Yerushalmi, right? Remember, the linchpin for Tosfos' Mahalach is the Yerushalmi. What does Rabbeinu Yonah do with Yerushalmi? Rabbeinu Yonah actually does quote this Yerushalmi, though, later on that Mishnah on Daf Nun, he does quote the Yerushalmi. And he understands Yerushalmi differently than Tosfos. If you look at Sam Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph B'Dapei Arif, he understands that it's Pashut, that there's only a Chi of Zimun when you begin together. What's Yerushalmi talking about? The discussion in Yerushalmi is when is the beginning of the meal. In other words, how do you define the beginning in terms of creating that chovas zimun? Is it enough to just decide to eat together? Or is it the decision? Or do you actually have to eat? Right? One side in Yerushalmi is you actually have to eat together to create the chovas zimun. The other side is no. Even if you have gemiras das to begin to eat, that's enough. Even though they didn't actually begin eating, the chovas zimun is chal alayhem, because they have that gemiras das that creates the mitzvah zimun. He explains what's the logic for that. They didn't have to eat because they're mekabel upon themselves to do a mitzvah. And therefore, that alone is mechayiv. So we'll get back to that discussion a little bit later, but that's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands the discussion of Yerushalmi. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, the Yerushalmi has nothing to do with what Tosfos is claiming, because there's no tzad that you're chayav in zimun except at the beginning. And let's actually look, maybe it's kedai to look at Rabbeinu Yonah inside for a moment. So let's take a look. Right at the beginning of the parak, he has two yesh mefarshim, two opinions. Yesh mefarshim, demayri kishakavu atman biyachad metchila, lahamotzi, Opinion number one, what kviyat achiyav zimun? Beginning the meal together. The yesh mefarshim, number two, shafal pi shelo b'erchu amoti b'yachad, v'lo kavu mitchila b'chayavin l'zamein. Why? Shemei achar shesimu b'yachad ha'achila kava oza. So this is presumably Tosfos. Right? Now, he doesn't attribute it to Tosfos. He just says it's the Yesh Mefarshim. But sounds like it's Tosfos, right? Even though they didn't begin together, since they completed together, now, that word, achila, though, is actually a little different than Tosfos, right? Tosfos didn't say it was the achila that was mechayev. Tosfos said it was the siyum that was mechayev, right? Let's just look at the lashon of Tosfos. So gamru sudasan. He didn't say it's the achila that's kovei osam, but that might be what Tosfos means. And then Rabbeinu Yonah says, so I think the first interpretation is correct, and he brings raios. Maybe we can look at his raios in a moment. But let's first focus on the difference between the second interpretation of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Yesh Mefarshim, versus Tosfos, right? So which tzad is Rabbeinu Yonah going against? So let's put it that way, right? We had two tzadim in Tosfos. What is Rabbeinu Yonah balafuka? So Rabbeinu Yonah l'chora is coming l'afuke the tzad that you don't need kfiyos at all. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, some say you don't need kfiyos for a zimun, and that's wrong. It's not even actually our second tzad in Tosfos either. It's a little closer to the second tzad. In other words, according to the first tzad in Tosfos, right? According to the first tzad in Tosfos, Tosfos 100% requires kviyos. He's just saying that there's two critical moments of kviyos, right? Now let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah again. Rabbeinu Yonah's lashon is, okay, and he quotes Umori, not Rachmana, Omer Shanachon Kamo Hapir Shavishon, She'en Chayavin Ela Keshekahu Lechol Biyachad Metchila. There's only a chi of Ziyaman, Kishikavu. And all of his rayos are basically saying, look, I could show you that without a kviyas, there's no chi of Ziyaman. Now, if you follow the first interpretation of Tosfos, Tosfos fully agrees. I think that there's only Ziyaman if there's kviyas. He just thinks that there's kviyas bein betchila, bein besof, right? Not if they eat in the middle, but bein betchila, bein besof. So Rabbeinu Yonah may not actually be talking to Tosfos. Rabbeinu Yonah might be saying, really, there's two possibilities. Possibility number one is only when there's kviyas, and there's only kviyas at the beginning. Possibility number two is you don't really need kviyas, right? And he says, I'll show that second possibility is wrong. And his rayos, for example, let's say from the Maisev Talmidei Derav, are along those lines. But if you assume, like the first possibility in Tosfos that we said, that you need kviyos, it's just that there's two moments of kviyos, so then the rayos don't even begin, right? And that's more or less pointed out by the Rush. So put it this way. Is Rabbeinu Yonah really going against Tosfos? Not really. Certainly not if we think Tosfos requires kviyas. If we assume the second possibility in Tosfos, which is that the conclusion is Mechayev Zimun despite the lack of kviyas, so then we could say Rabbeinu Yonah has rayos against Tosfos. So if you want to say Rabbeinu Yonah is arguing with Tosfos, what we would say is Rabbeinu Yonah read Tosfos in one particular way, more like our second set, that Tosfos is basically saying that even without Kvios, if you conclude the meal together, you're chayv and zimun. And what Rabbeinu Yonah does is he tries to bring two rayos that that's not true, that there's never a chayv zimun without Kvios, right? What possibility doesn't Rabbeinu Yonah consider? That you need Kvios, but you could have Kvios at the end. Why doesn't Rabbeinu Yonah consider that? Maybe because it doesn't make any sense. In other words, why would Kvios be created at the end? After all, you didn't even eat together. You didn't begin together, right? And don't tell me Kvios is created just by eating together. That's also wrong. And why should the end be creating Kvios? So therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah read Tosfos one particular way, and he rejects it. Or again, you could say he's not talking about Tosfos. It's a different view. It doesn't really matter. Now, if we turn to the Rush, so the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rush defends the second view, right? The view that Rabbeinu Yonah rejects, the lean era, kedivrei mefarshim, af al pi shelo birchu amotzi biyachad, el achar kach nikbu beachila biyachad, nikbu lezimun. So the Rush, whereas Tosfos was a bit ambiguous, right? Whereas in Tosfos, we're not sure which did he mean, right? Did Tosfos mean that you need Kvios and you have Kvios? Or maybe you could be Chayv and Zeman if you finish together even without Kvios? Tosfos not so sure. Rush is absolutely sure, right? Rush is clearly the first sad in Tosfos. Right, which is that you could be koveya later on. Right, this is lashon. Af al pi shelo birchu amotzi biyachad, el achar kach nikbeu beachila biyachad. There's kvius al yedei achila nikbeu lezimon. Beinu rishayim lachalik. Right, umasha hevi raya mehi deketz mevarchem la raya hi shani hasam dei lo amru nezel venechol benama beduch deplomis. What was the raya? He brought a raya that the Gemara in Ketzin Varchem says you have to say that's not a raya, because all that's telling you is you need kvius, and I also agree you need kvius. I just think it's shaykh kvius b'gemara suda. Same thing basically for the Shamish raya. So the Rush says, I don't know what these Raya's of Rabbeinu Yonah are talking about. Well, we sort of explained why the Rabbeinu Yonah thought he was a Raya. Because Rabbeinu Yonah didn't read Tosfos this way. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't even consider this possibility. Rabbeinu Yonah held that if you're not going to say that Stam Achila creates Kvios, so then it must be that you don't need Kvios for Zimun, according to the second possibility. So, fine. Now, is there a way to defend, let's say you learn Tosfos like our second sad, is there still a way to defend the rayos that Rabbeinu Yonah brings? In other words, if you learn like the first sad, we could easily defend the rayos, like the Rush does. What about if you learn like the second sad, right? In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah wrote in his Havan of Tosfos, Yesh Mefarshim, Tosfos didn't say achila below kvios. He just says that the gemar achila biyachad. So it could be that's the answer. So I know this is a little complicated. Let's just summarize, right? If you don't want to get so complicated, we could just leave out the fourth possibility and say there's three possibilities. There's Tosfos and the Rush who say Kvios is created either if you begin together or you end together. We have Rabbeinu Yonah who says Kvios is only created if you begin together. They both agree that you need Kvios to Mechayv and Zimun. The third view, which nobody holds of, is we could call it the straw man of Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, that you don't need kvius for zimun, and therefore someone comes in the middle and finishes together with the other two people. They're all chayv and zimun. Or again, maybe there's this fourth possibility that we're suggesting. Yes.
I thought we said like that.
Okay, we can look at the Ramban. Raman is very interesting, but so you're saying that you don't need kvias at all.
I thought it was
like that. No. The Ramban requires kvias. It's just a kvias that's created besof by people coming. The very zimun is koveya, he says.
Right. So that's that second way we learn Tosfos, right? Right, but you do need a kvias. It's not the straw man of Rameinu Yonah. That's what I mean to say.
Another two. The straw man.
Because the straw man, Rameinu Yonah's view that he's rejecting is you don't need kvias at all. And that's where he could show, he could bring a raya from Kesim Mevarchim that you do need kvias to be chayv and zimun. That's why they have to say nechol, the nechol beduch deplan, right? Okay.
Just for a quick clarification, how did Rebbe answer up if we learn Tosfos according to the second side? Me.
Answer for what?
Again,
the rayas are right. There's no raya because Tosfos agrees you need kvius. Tosfos is just saying that the chi of zimun is not created. I'll explain like this. Achila biyachad doesn't create kvius, right? Just because you happen to eat together, and that's why the Gemara in Kesem Varchem you have to artificially create that kvius. Because otherwise, all they had was they happened to eat together, eat at the same time. And that's insufficient. Okay. Now, a very interesting question. So how do we paskin? So this is very interesting. What does a Shulchan Aruch paskin? I don't want to get into it so much now, because now is not the time to focus on Shulchan Aruch, especially it's late already. But there's going to be an interesting debate which view the Shulchan Aruch accepts. Is he accepting Tosfos? Or the Taz says it doesn't even think he accepts Tosfos either. And the question is Kvios created at the end or not? So I think we'll leave it now. But it's an interesting machloka saposkim, how to read the view of the Shulchan Aruch, which view is the Shulchan Aruch accepting. Now, another relevant point here, which again, I think we're not going to get into now, maybe we'll get back to it on the base, is it shayach the possibility of making zimun even when you're not mandated to? In other words, this discussion is all about when are you chayav to do zimun? Okay, let's say you're not chayav to do zimun because you don't have sufficient kvias. Could you do a zimun anyway if you wish? So that's also a very important question, issue behind the scenes, which again, I think we'll get back to for now. Now I want to make a couple of small ha'aros on the Gemara, and then we'll talk about a bigger topic a little bit. We'll talk about the Nashim and the like. So just a small ha'aros on the Gemara. But we have the issue here of bracha and machalos asulos, which we talked about in the Shulchan Aruch, actually. Maybe it's kedai to get back to, but I think we'll do it later when we get to when the Gemara actually talks about tevel and the like. Let's skip that also. So here, just an interesting minor ha'ara. So the Gemara says, minayin la'ona amen shalei agbiya kolo yosem and mevarech shenamar gadol Hashem iti unram mashmo yachdav. So what's the din by Kaddish? So the Mishnah Berurah says, who a din for Baruch Hu, Chor for Kaddish also. There's Mishnah Berurah, Kof Chav Dalad, Sif Katan Mem Zayin, Shelo Yag Bi Akolo, Mishum Tachsev, Gadol Hashem Iti Nirom Mashmo Yachta, Venerad Hu a din, Lenin Baruch Hu, O Ber Kasazimon, Gam King, right? Because after all, it's the same of course. Shelo Yag Bi Ha'one Yosem Mem Mevarech. So this is, there was a fellow in my shul growing up. I don't know if he's still alive, by Fleischman. And Rabbi Fleischman, you know, wanted to make sure everyone, and especially kids, treated Kaddish properly, said Amen loudly and with Kavana. After all, it says, Ona Yesh Mei Rabbi B'chol Kocho. So he would especially come up to us little kids and he would like belt out Yehesh Mei Rabba. So, L'chora, what he's doing is against the Gemara, right? Because he's saying it, Yosem and Mevarech. Is that right? So the Mishnah Berurah says yes. Interesting Chiddush. O Nira, de'im kavanaso beharimo kolo, kedei lezarez leha'am, shiyanu gam hein. Mutter. It's mutter. So that's what he was trying to do. That's what Rabbi Fleischman was doing. Sumecha teisi, right? Doesn't the Gemara say it's aser? So I think maybe the pshat is that in this case, it's not chaser in the yachdav. In other words, what's the problem with normally raising your voice louder than a mevarich, like it says? Because it says, unuromim mashmo yachdav. Once you go ahead and you scream out louder than him, so that's not yachdav anymore, right? His point is, Gadol Hashem iti, join me in being bringing glory to Hashem. And we, the tzibur, the kahal, will respond together. You're screaming. That's not yachdav anymore. But fakert, in this case, once you're trying, you're not doing it because you want to be exclude yourself from the tzibur. But adarabah, you're trying to be mechazik and be mizaris the tzibur. The tzibur is very lackluster in their participation of kaddish. And you're trying to be mizaris them. So then adarabah, you're part of the tzibur. You're being mechazik the tzibur. And therefore it would be okay. But either way, you see something, which is, again, this isn't just a din and amen. The idea is that we're trying to be mitzaref for every type of responsive tefillah. One other minor ha'ara relates a little bit to Parsha. So the pasuk says, that we learn from the pasuk, Moshe yedaber v'ha'elokim yanenu v'kol, that ein hametargem rishai lagvia kolo yoser min hakore. So how do we learn that from this pasuk? So Rashi over here doesn't explain, but if we look at Rashi al haTorah, the pasuk says Moshe yedaber k'shaya Moshe medaber mashmi hadibros li Yisrael. Shaharei lo shamu mipi agvura el anochi v'lo yia l'cha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu m'sayo loseis bo koach lios kolo magbir v'nishma. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the two dibros, Hashem told Moshe the dibros, and Moshe taught them to B'nai Yisrael. Moshe told them. Now Moshe's voice wasn't very loud. How is everybody going to hear? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his voice. That's what V'alokim Ya'anenu B'kol means. Moshe's voice was amplified. Ya'anenu al Dvar HaKol. Right? So L'chora, what's the understanding of the Pasuk? Moshe spoke and Hashem amplified his voice. That's what L'chora Rashi is saying. Aaron's going to correct me if I'm wrong. But the problem is, if that's true, so then our Gemara doesn't make sense. Right? How do you see here this principle that the mitargim can't be louder than the korei? Who's the mitargim? Who's the korei? Right? All it means is Hashem made his voice louder. So this is what it means. Moshe spoke and Hashem broadcasted his voice. It's not amplified his voice. Hashem wasn't just like a microphone. Hashem allowed everybody to hear. And the point is that the broadcast was in the same voice as Moshe. In other words, who's the Metargim? Moshe Yidaber, that's Moshe speaking. He said the Dibros, Velokim, Yanenu Bekol means, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Metargim, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the voice of Moshe, whose Metargim was Mashmiya the Kol, at the same voice as Moshe, Bekol. The same voice as Moshe, right? If Moshe spoke at the 54 decibels, so it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a microphone and made his voice 100 decibels, everybody could hear. No. They all heard Kolo Shel Moshe. They all of Klal Yisrael heard the voice in 54 decibels. And that's why I think, that's what it means. Moshe Yidaber, Velokim Yanenu Bekol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kilu was the Mitargaman. Oh. Now, what's the pashup shot of the pasuk? So I assume the pashup shot is the easiest shot. I think is the Ibn Ezra, who understands it kemashmo, that Moshe was the medaber, with Hashem, and Hashem is the owner, right? Moshe yidaber velokim yanenu b'kol. Moshe spoke, Hashem responded. And that's, now why would that be significant, right? Who cares that Moshe yidaber velokim yanenu b'kol? So the pshat is, what the pasuk says a little later on, pasuk tes, what does this pasuk say? Ba'avur yishma ha'am b'davri imach. In other words, this is the Ibn Ezra's pshat. He says it's from the Gaon. I assume that's Rasadi Gaon, maybe. The pshat is that we're not talking about the Aseres HaDibros, like Rashi said, right? Moshe daber ve'alkim yanenu b'kol. Moshe spoke. Hashem responded with a voice, right? In other words, Hashem, Klal Yisrael heard the conversation between Hashem and Moshe, not the Aseres HaDibros per se. Now, why is that important? Who cares? So if you look at the Rambam, in, I think, Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, he says this actually is the basis of our belief in the truth of Taras Moshe. Why? Because the Rambam says, when it comes to every other belief, if it's based off of miracles or wonders, then the observer might have a tinge of doubt, right? Maybe this isn't a miracle, maybe it's magic. Sleight of hand, something like that. He's being tricked. But we heard Hashem speak to Moshe. Now, when you read the Rambam at first glance, if you don't actually read what he says, it sounds like, because it's referring to the Aseres HaDibros. We heard the Aseres HaDibros, right? Or at least the first two Dibros. We heard Anochi and Eliyah. But that's not what the Rambam says. And actually, it would have to be, that would be impossible for the Rambam. So Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, we didn't hear the first two Dibros. We just heard the kol. We couldn't have heard the dibros because we weren't Nevi'im. It's not shaykh to have nevuah for someone who's in Rawi. So what did we hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It says we heard Hashem say to Moshe, Lech emor lahem kach v'kach. Right? Go tell them such and such. We heard Hashem converse with Moshe. Like the pasuk says, Bavur yishma ha'am b'davri imach v'gam b'cha yaminu li'olam. What's the basis of our emuna in Hashem li'olam, the Taras Moshe? Bavur yishma ha'am b'davri imach. They will hear me conversing with you. It's not the Aseres HaDibros. Rambam does think that the first two Dibros are mipi Hashem, but the Rambam thinks that means something else. He thinks that means because the truth of God's existence could be proven through logic. So that is the basis of emunah. So that's just interesting. Hara, I guess it doesn't so much relate to Shlosh Shachlu, but when I was trying to figure out what Argumar meant, I was looking back at those psukim, and I guess, you know, what is Moshe Daber? It's a very, very important pasuk. Going back to Rashi, though, as I said, Rashi understood it is going on, yes, I said Nibros, and that seems to be the interpretation of the riff quoted in Tosfos. But if you look at the riff quoted in Tosfos, he understood the exact opposite of Rashi. This is a third interpretation. According to the riff, Moshe was the miturgamon, not Hashem. Right? Remember, Rashi said that Hashem was the turgamon. Moshe yidaber, that was the korei. Velokim yanenu b'kol, that's the miturgamon, because Moshe, Hashem broadcast the voice of Moshe to everybody else, but not louder than the Korei. According to the Rif, as quoted by Tosfos, Faker, Moshe was the Meturgamon and not Hashem. So that's very hard to figure out. How do you see it in the Gemara? So that's what he says, because Moshe presumably was speaking B'kol Kolcho. So he was speaking L'Hashmiya Kolo L'Chol Ha'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to raise his voice, right? Because he was only speaking to Moshe. So how do we learn this halacha? So that's what Tosfos explains. Still, he was magbia kolo. Kedei shelo yehei kolo shel Moshe was the mitargim more than the kolo of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the korei. Right? So b'kitzer, according to the Rif, Moshe was the miturgamon. Because now, why was Moshe the miturgamon? In that sense, the Rif is much easier to understand. Because he was bringing the Dvar Hashem to the Am. Right? According to Rashi, Moshe was the Dabran, right? Moshe Yidaber, the Elokim Yanana Bakol, and Hashem was the Meturgaman, right? Hashem Kiilu brought the Dvar of Hashem to the Dvar Hashem from Moshe to everybody else. It's sort of two different perspectives on how to understand Moshe's role in the Sinas HaTorah. And then the third interpretation is even Ezra B'Shem HaGaon, the Rambam as well, not necessarily explaining this Gemara. Maybe they would say this is Al-Pi Drash, but Al-Pi Pshat, the Pasuk means something else. Al-Pi Pshat, the Pasuk is referring to not the Aseres HaDibros, because after all, it's not going explicitly on the Aseres HaDibros, but on the conversation between Hashem and Moshe. And our overhearing that is the basis of our emunah in the Torah. Now, if we look at the Hemshech of the Gemara says that just like the Metargim can't be Magbia Kolo, Hu Adin the Kore, right? So now I understand why the Metargim can't be Magbia Kolo, right? Because what's the Metargim doing? He's being Metargim the Dvar Hashem. So it'd be a bizayon if the Metargim would be louder than the Kore, right? Because after all, if I'm the Metargim, right? Adam's the Kore, I'm the Metargim. So if I'm louder than Adam, I'm like, my voice is louder than the Torah's voice. Adam's saying the Dvar Hashem, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the words of the Torah. Clearly, we understand the Svar, why it would be inappropriate for me, the Metargim, to be louder than Adam, the Kore. But why would you say Fakert? Why would you say that the Kore can't be louder than the Metargim? Right? That should be fine. You're saying the Dvar Hashem. So maybe the pshat is that the Kore is the Torah Shebichsav, the Targum, as the Rambam writes, is the Torah Shebal Peh. And the point is that there's a kilkel when one is louder than the other. In other words, what happens? Sometimes in Torah, somebody emphasizes too much Torah Shebichsav, and they sort of downplay Torah Shebal Peh, and that leads to a kilkel of the Torah. Sometimes you have fakert. They're so into the Torah Shebal Peh, they forget about what the words actually say. And that also, you have to make sure that they're the same voice, that they're both equal. Based off of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, it says Toros. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koris Bris with both Toros. And you have to make sure you don't forget either one. And that idea is emphasized by the idea that you can't have the Metargim louder than the Kore, or the Kore louder than the Metargim. Okay, so let's continue. And let's talk a little bit about Zimun for two people, as well as the issue for women. Again, we don't have much time, so maybe we'll talk about it more next time, but at least introduce some of the issues here. So the Gemara has a Shaila about Zimun for Shnayim. So what are the two Tzadim in the Safek? So maybe our question basically is there such a thing as Zimun of Rishos? Clearly you're not Chayev, because there isn't three. The Mishnah said you need three to be Chayev. So is there such a thing as an optional Zimun? If there is, then this would be okay. If not, not. Alternatively, we could say no. We're not taking a stand on that question. The question is it Shach Gadol HaShem Iti with two people? In other words, when we say Gadol HaShem Iti in Ram HaShem Yachdav, does that mean as long as I call to somebody, that's a Zimun. So two people could make a Zimun conceivably. Gadol HaShem Iti, Ram HaShem Yachdav, or no. The whole concept of Zimun is by definition impossible unless there's three people, unless it's one person calling to a Tzibor. Now, then, if that was the Pshat, so then we bring a Raya from Nashim. So what's the Pshat according to Rashi? That's like the first Tzad. In other words, Rashi explains, Be'an Nashim is Ketrei on Nashim, with respect to the idea that there is no chiyuv. So what we're trying to show from Nashim, according to this, is, according to Rashi, is that there is such a thing as Zimun Shel Rishos. And therefore we're saying, oh, there's such a thing as Zimun Shel Rishos. Yeah, maybe it's three women or 100 women, but there's such a thing as Zimun Shel Rishos. So once there's such a thing as Zimun Shel Rishos, so then who had then two men? To which we answer, no. Shani Nashim Dikadeos, meaning to say that basically the second shot is right. No, the reason why two doesn't work is not because there's no such thing as Zimun Rishos. The reason is because you need Deus. You need three intelligent beings. You need one person to be calling out to two. Now, Tosfos initially doesn't read the Gemara like Rashi. Why? Because he says, well, the Lashon of Nizamnos doesn't sound like Rishos. Doesn't sound like it's optional. According to Rashi, it should say in Rashi Mizamnos or something like that. Now, how do you defend Rashi? Well, Tosfos himself does it a little bit later. Maybe we're being medayikin from the Seifa. Take a look at the Rush. But there's another important question. So another question here, which we're not going to answer, but you could see is behind the lines here, which is when we say there is such a thing as Rishus, let's say within Rashi or Tosfos, Lamaskana. So what does Rishus mean? Does Rishus mean optional? You do it, good, not? Or is Rishus something that it's not officially a chova, but of course you should? In other words, if we say Shnaim is Rishus, or if we say Nashim is Rishus, does that mean they could do it if they want? Or, of course, once they could do it, they should. More like Arvis Rishus. If you could, if in some way it's a kiyum of Gadol Hashem Iti, why wouldn't you do it? If you take the latter approach, so then you could maybe a little bit better understand the Gemara in Erechim, right? Because Tosfos says, what's the big problem with Rashi's Mahalech? How could you say it's Rishus? What about the Gemara in Erechim? It sounds like they're Chiyuv. So, okay, we could say Chiyuv Rishus. But what does Chiyuv Rishus mean, right? What does Tosfos mean? Well, if you say Rishus is something more like Arvis Rishus, it means there's not an absolute Chiyuv. Arvis Rishus also, what that means is a Shaila, but some type of lower level Chiyuv. Meaning, say it's a mitzvah, you should do it, but you don't have to do it. So then we can understand how to read that Gemara in Erechim a little better. If you say Rishus just means, well, if you want to, good, not, then the Gemara in Erechim seems to be more difficult. All right. Now, there's a very important Tshuvas HaRaavad over here. We're not going to read it together now. It's Tshuvos Upsakim Siman Yubeis. I'll put it on the group chat. But his lashon over there is v'afal pichein in mizamnos aleihem lefi she'enan b'nei kviyos. The big question is basically, once there is this concept of zimun rishos for women or chova, if you learn like the Rush, so then why isn't there tzirah? After all, the Mishnah does say that nashim, the first Mishnah excludes women, right? So if, let's say you take the simple reading of the Gemara in Erechim and of many Rishonim, right? So in the end of the day, it says, Nashim Vavadim Ketanim Ein Mizamin Aleihem. So why wouldn't you be Mizamin Aleihem? Very important Lashon of the Raavad, which we'll, I guess, explain next time. Ein Mizamin Aleihem Lefisha Einam B'nei Kviyas. Let's figure out what that means. Is that Pritzos? Doesn't really sound that way. So take a look at the Rush. The Rush quotes Tosfos, and he disagrees. Now, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Rush and the Tosfos? It's very interesting. When you see the Rush quote Tosfos, basically, he says, why did Tosfos learn Rishus? Right? Tosfos also started off thinking it means Chova, rejecting Rashi. And he quotes, Tosfos says, but it's Shver because of the Minog. And then Tosfos slash the Rush quoting Tosfos brings two Rayos that it can't be Chova. The Rush addresses those two Rayos. He explains why he doesn't think those are good Rayos. He then says, why I think it's Chova, based on the Gemara in Erechim. Fine. So, but what didn't the Rush address, right? What was the Iker motivation of Tosfos, which the Rush didn't answer, right? The Tosfos brought two Rayos, it's Rishus. But those are, was that what was motivating Tosfos? No. What clearly was motivating Tosfos is what? The Minhag. Right? That's his kasha. Does the Rush answer that? He doesn't bother. He doesn't say, you're going to tell me the minhag? No, I'll deal with that. In other words, what's so interesting is what you seem to see here, what would the Rush say? I don't know. Maybe it's a minhag tos, right? What could you do? Okay. L'maisa, I could prove from you the Gemara that nashim archal yavos l'zamin, right? That's what the Rush says. That's what the Gaon points at the Vilna Gaon. The minhag, okay. I don't know. Shver minhag, it's a minhag tos. At the end of the day, if we can prove it, there's nothing to talk about, right? The impression you get, which is very interesting, is that behind the scenes of this debate is how are you misyaches to a minhag, right? Tosfos says if we have a minhag, we have to defend the minhag. The Rush is, it's not to say minhag is worthless, but the Rush is not taking minhag so seriously. Well, he quotes it. Look what he put. He quotes Tosfos. He says, let's take a look quickly at the Rush. Okay, open up. I And that's going to be very important. I'll just say, while we're finding the place in terms of dealing with it, Bisman Hazeh, you know, what should we do practically? So he quotes, this is a Siman Dalet. She starts off, Mash Machad Nashim Chayavas Biziman Latzman. Right? This is all quoting Tosfos. He says, V'tema Shalom Nahagu Kain. Right? So that's the minhag. It's against the minhag, right? Nashim were not in the minhag. Yeah. Now, if he said that the minhag was different, so he would tell you the minhag was different. But he never addresses that. Then he has two more kashas, right? Yishlomar hadiktani nashim izan nusatun hainu imratzu, and he explains why v'chule. And then he says, no, this is all wrong, right? V'nirli deir erchen arkachach luchiyuvu diasa. Right, very important. Tosfos didn't bring this up either. He thinks there's no svara. Once you're going to say nashim chayavos, why in the world should they be pturas from zimun? So that's the first ha'ara on this, which is that it seems to me that they're debating about minhag. The Rush doesn't even answer the kasha for minhag. What would he say? Okay, presumably it's a minhag tos. Maybe it wasn't alpi chachamim. The Tosfos doesn't consider that option. Tosfos thinks, if this is the minhag, so, you know, we have to figure out how to be miyashev the minhag. So that's, I think, a very important ha'ara. And it's a very important ha'ara making it lemaisa. I guess next time we'll talk about the Russian. I encourage everyone to take a look at the Am Mordechai Siman Chavvav. But Bekitzer, you know, what should we do nowadays? So I don't have an answer, but I'll talk about it very briefly, which is, you know, when I first learned the sugya the first time, I was a little younger, I sort of felt, why in the world wouldn't you make a zima? Look, here the pashup shot is, in a gemara you could certainly arguably say, is that they're chayavos. Okay, it's true it's against the Shulchan Aruch, but that's the pashup shot, it's chayavos, right? And even if you're going to say it's not chayavos, so why wouldn't you do it? It's at least rishos. Everybody agrees it's rishos. So you have something that maybe is obligatory, and if it's not obligatory, it's permissible. So why in the world would anybody not say to do it? So it must be that anyone who says not to do it is like an anti-feminist, right? Because that's the only reason not to do it, because you're an anti-feminist. So, you know, bishlama to be an anti-feminist when the feminists are saying to do bad things, things that are against the halacha. But here it's not against the halacha. There's certainly no harm, and maybe it's positive. So why wouldn't you do it? So the answer, Bekitzer, I'm not saying that this you shouldn't do it, but I'm saying let's try to understand the shittos who say don't do it, right? So the answer is, and this is a very important yesod, in so many other areas of halacha, we talk of sometimes have shver minhagim, but we say this is the minhag, and we're going to do it anyway, right? And we'll be miyashev the minhag, right? We'll be miyashev the minhag. Why do we do that? Because we believe very, very strongly in the Messiah of Kal Yisrael, that when there's a minhag, that reflects imanim neviim b'nei neviim. It reflects emes, it reflects ratzon Hashem and the like, and that's why we're miyashev shver minhagim. So to always go ahead, let's say Rabbi Willig, as we've seen throughout the year, as many times defends minhagim minhagim Israel, even though they're a little shver, because that's the minhag. Okay, now if he tells you, okay, there's no reason why women should benefit the zimun, that's the minhag. So you say he's an anti-feminist? No, he's not an anti-feminist. He's just being consistent, which is to believe in the koach of minhag. We follow minhag, even sometimes when it's a little shver. Adarab, it's inconsistent to go ahead and say, yeah, we'll always follow the minhag, we'll take the coolest of the minhag, but here, this minhag, we're going to forget the minhag, we're going to go. So I'm not saying that advocating that position. I think, though, that's an important thing to keep in mind, the koach of minhag. All right, we're out of time. I have to run. The Siyat Shmai will pick up Tuesday. Have a good day.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, could be. That's no...
Right, I think it's